couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys the Movies, our last show of 2008.
Weepy eyes, tear.
2008.
Who has a tear?
2008 was a good year for us, eh?
2008 was a good year for movies, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was pretty good. But we're not going to do that this week. This week, we've got like 6 movies to review.
That's
so
right.
Then we're going to take next week off. And then the week after, we're going to come back with our big year in review show.
This is the big fat Christmas special this week.
Right. This is also the week of Christmas, which is a very good holiday.
Merry Christmas.
And happy Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and...
No, we went over this last year. No Kwanzaa.
Why? Because you're a racist?
Because the guy who started it, like, tortured 2 women.
Oh, okay.
And threatened to kill them.
You know what I want to know? Speaking of movies, what do Scientologists celebrate? Do they celebrate Christmas?
They celebrate Valkyrie.
They celebrate Valkyrie. Awesome.
Yes.
Good one. Cool. Well, we're going to talk about Valkyrie in a second, but before we get to that, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can hit us over at fatguysthemovies.com. You can hit us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store, search Fat Guys the Movies. We pop right up. You can subscribe to us, review us. Hint, hint. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And you can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. No voicemails
Booyah.
This week, officially.
Yes,
I did.
Dawn
check.
Hasn't called back. That's true. She. Although I did get a somewhat obscene voice call on one of the other sites I work for.
Okay.
Somebody, some like teenage boy called and told me that I made stupid movies about male anatomy.
Oh, all right. You made the movies, bad movies.
I used to make short films, just like goofy little Saturday Night Live sketch type movies, and
right.
There were a couple that did involve, and not in an adult sort of way, so to speak, but like as a joke.
They were just lewd jokes.
They're lewd jokes. They were like dirty jokes on film sometimes. Nothing that terrible.
Nothing
that's going to get me arrested.
You would make lewd jokes about anything, would you?
No. Well, let's just say there's a certain. Let's just put it this way. There's a certain series, this play that goes around. I don't even know if you can say this on the radio, but it's monologues about a certain part of female anatomy.
Oh, yeah, no. I know this. That's actually a pretty funny little sketch that you did.
Yeah, and we've done the ones, but not about the female anatomy, about the male anatomy. So figure it out yourself. So this 14-year-old kid from like the San Fernando Valley complained.
There's a lot of people in Wyoming right now scratching their heads.
They're going, what are you talking about?
Exactly. Anyways, let's talk about movies.
Ho, ho, ho. My favorite part. That's my favorite part of Christmas, the ho, ho, ho's.
All the ho's. Anyways, we'll start with Valkyrie. And nothing says Merry Christmas like a failed Nazi assassination plot with Tom Cruise.
I serve my country, but I have betrayed my conscience. We need to kill Hitler. There has to be a chance of success.
That's why you're here.
Any problem on Earth can be solved with the careful application of explosives.
But remember, nothing ever goes according to plan.
Now, did you see this movie?
I did.
You did? I want to let you start. What do you think?
Well, I kind of didn't like it. Well, here's the problem.
There's a way to be decisive, Neil Miller.
Is that Valkyrie really comes out with, it's made by Bryan Singer, who started off making one of my favorite movies of all time, which is The Usual Suspects, and then went into his comic book, I want to make these huge budget blockbuster phase, where he made Superman Returns and X-Men. And, those films were all okay.
You said it in a fair way. He made X-Men, X-Men 2, which were awesome. Then he made Superman Returns with Super Stalker.
Right, which was, that was pretty bad. And now he's kind of, he's changed tone again. And this, to me, is his most straightforward movie. You know, he also worked with Christopher McQuarrie, who worked with him on The Usual Suspects and wrote Way of the Gun. And this is kind of an unexpectedly straightforward story from them. But it's also
like his earlier stuff, like Apt Pupil or something like
that. Yeah. But this movie, it starts off with a burst of action. There's this...
With a bang.
Yeah, with a bang. And Tom Cruise plays this Nazi colonel who's not happy with being a Nazi and...
He's so not happy with being a Nazi, he sheds his German accent and talks like he's from Turkey.
Exactly. Which, if the fact that the Nazis in this movie don't talk with German accents annoys you, the first, 30 seconds of the movie will annoy you even further because it starts with Tom Cruise speaking in German and then morphs into him speaking in English. As if to say, haha, we're not going to speak in German.
This is
the
thing. It wasn't that... I wasn't even bothered by the fact they weren't speaking in German accents. I was bothered by the fact that they made an issue of the accents and just did it so badly. And I read somewhere on the internet, and you know this is reliable because it was on the internet.
Right.
And it said that the quote, something like the non-German actors experimented with German accents, but later Singer decided to go with what he called neutral accents, which for translation, that means American British accents. Well, no, but what he did is he has Eddie Izzard.
Oh, yeah.
A British guy playing a German guy speaking in an American accent, which makes no sense. Yet, on the same time, you have Tom Wilkinson speaking like his normal British accent, and you've got Kenneth Branagh speaking his British accent, and you've got the German actors speaking in German accents. They don't make a consistency.
It's the most confusing movie of the year.
Well, the translation of that line I read is Tom Cruise can't do a German accent.
Right.
So they script it for everybody because everybody else in that movie, Bill Nighy, Kenneth Branagh, you know, anybody else.
Is a good actor and could probably pull that off.
Yeah, A could pull it off. And if they couldn't, they would have dumped him. You can't dump the head of United Artists when he's making his movie.
Exactly. So, but I guess the biggest problem I had was it starts off with a bang and then it just kind of falls apart. And you never really connect with the characters. You never really connect with their mission because you know what's going to happen at the end.
Well, I think they also tried to, because the reality is the dissenters in Germany were not like, oh, isn't it terrible you're doing with the Holocaust? They may not have agreed with it, but they were still patriots of Germany. No matter how you cut it, they were still patriots of Germany, which was that was their primary goal, was for Germany and the German people. The whole Holocaust was like, well, that's just you getting out of hand.
Right.
And so they couldn't realistically portray them as being indignant about the real awfulness of the Nazis, but they also couldn't make them be like, oh, well, how terrible of you, we need to save the Jews, because that's not the way they were doing it. So they kind of softballed the whole
purpose behind it. Right. They just thought that Hitler went off a little too far, you know?
Yeah. Hitler was... And then they made Hitler into this, like, caricature. I mean, literally, I thought I was watching a Warner Brothers cartoon. he's, like, stumbling around, going, arr, arr, arr. He was like Popeye on a bad day.
Yeah. So... Well, but German, with a mustache.
Yeah, he had a German accent.
Yeah, well, I'm going kind of sucks on this one because I thought,
you know,
it was cool for being shot in digital, but otherwise, well, it was a terrible story.
I'm going to say kind of sucks because while I thought it was interesting, it did kind of keep my attention, but it was somewhat passionless. It reminded me a little bit of like The Day the Earth Stood Still, where I'm like, well, there are certain things that look cool and I can get into it, but I really just didn't get behind it. I was just like,
it wasn't a big terrible, giant. It's just not good.
Yeah, big giant. Okay.
Nice. Cool. Well,
that's my review.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Bedtime Stories, The Spirit, and Marley and Me. And we're back at Fat Guys, the movies. We're rolling through. We thought we were going to do two movies in that last segment, but we had to roll it into this segment.
There was way too many Nazis to talk about.
Right. There's too much Nazism happening around the virtual mental student in the sky. So we'll move on to something else that has nothing to do with Nazis. At least I don't think so.
No, I'm pretty sure it has nothing to do with Nazis.
Yeah.
It's not The Spirit. So that does have a Nazi scene.
No. It's called Bedtime Stories. It's Disney's holiday release with Adam Sandler as a friendly uncle who tells bedtime stories to his niece and nephew, and then they come true.
Skeeter?
Sis.
I'm getting laid off. I got a couple interviews set up in Arizona. I need you to watch the kids.
I'll do it. But you gotta say, Skeeter is the coolest, I am a nerd.
Skeeter's the coolest, I'm a nerd.
Yeah, you are. All right. Good night, you guys.
Tell us the bedtime story.
Okay, here we go. Once upon a time, the greatest of all the heroes was Skeeter. And then...
It started raining gumballs.
That's weird.
Now, Kevin, I didn't see this because I didn't feel like driving in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it.
Yes, I did.
So was it good?
Well, yeah, it actually was. I mean, you have to look at it as saying this is Disney's family release for the holidays. This is, well, even though Disney didn't do Night at the Museum, it's that kind of a audience that it's going for. It's going for parents and kids. It's not going for the critics. It's not going for people who want to see a heavy... It's not going for people who want to see a movie about Nazis. So
there's plenty of that out there.
Yeah, there's plenty of Nazis out there on Christmas. This one, it's light and fluffy and airy. It's Adam Sandler's a friendly uncle in a non-creepy way. And I will say that you have to like Adam Sandler to like this movie. Not that he's...
Oh, so it's like just like Yes Man.
No, 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 no. It's not that bad. But the whole point is, if you don't like Adam Sandler, he's going to annoy you through it. It's just...
Well, right. It's like Jim Carrey.
Well, yeah, but Yes Man was literally like end-to-end Jim Carrey. Whereas Bedtime Stories, you could have put anybody else in this story and it would have been... You know, it's not all 100% Adam Sandler, and he's not over the top. But if you have a thing against Adam Sandler, you will get annoyed with him. But it's still, for like the family movie, it's cute. I took my kids. They loved it. They thought it was very funny. It has enough that it'll keep the little kids interested as well, because, you know, they'd identify, you know, the kid's 7, I think, in the movie. One of the kids is 7. And it's silly enough. It's
so they can
enough.
Relate very well to that kid's struggle.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely pulls some strings, because like the whole thing is it's just this... He works in a hotel, and the guy who owns a hotel is going to build another hotel on the site of his sister's school, and they're going to tear down the school. So it got that sort of like unrealistic preachiness
stupidity.
To it. But again, you got to look at it as saying this is like the Cat from Outer Space. This is a Disney Christmas movie, and it totally works for that. It's got a little, it's got a guinea pig with eyes popping out of its head. It's hilarious.
Okay,
that's the selling point.
Yeah,
Bugsy.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I'd say it kind of rocks.
All right, so it kind of rocks. Cool. Moving on to another family-esque, family-ish movie. It's called
dog.
Marley and Me.
I just made dog noises and my dog looked at me.
In which Owen Wilson plays a reporter who raises the worst dog in the world.
Marley, this is our house. And now it's yours.
Marley, you can't go through a screen door.
Marley!
Just like a little kid, except no furrier.
That's not a dog. That is evil with a dog face.
Yep. Get an answering machine, and then went back and had the phone for dessert.
A dog can only have one master. Which one of you has the most authority in your relationship?
Maybe I'll stand over there for the beginning.
Now, Neil, we both saw this.
We did.
Again, being the magnanimous guy that I am, what did you think of it first?
I think that this is the most bold tearjerker of the year.
There you go.
Like this movie, I guess, well, we were talking off the air, you kind of have to be a dog person to really get into this movie to be able to relate, though you don't have to be a dog person to enjoy the movie. I think overall the movie is actually extremely well done for being, you know, that kind of just like family drama comedy whatever for being a dog movie. But this movie will beat tears out of you.
Yeah.
I am not kidding. It will literally smack the tears out of your face. It is unrelenting.
Yeah. Now, see, this is the thing. I went and saw it. I was a little bit cynical about it just because I am a cynical guy.
Right.
But you know what? I love dogs, and we've had dogs in our family, and I have kids, and we have a dog, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you totally...
It's the kids and the dog combination that get you.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And I totally appreciate it for that. I totally appreciate it for what it is. I love the movie. I really thought it was exceptionally well done. I also identify with the character of Owen Wilson, you know, because he's a writer. He's worked in newspapers. I've worked in newspapers. I'm a writer. You know, we struggle here and there, that kind of thing. So I find it very interesting and touching that way. So it's a...
Yeah, well...
And on that level, and this is the thing, I'm going to go as far as to say, I really like this movie. It's a totally rocks for me, but I also have to say it's not trying to win awards. It's not trying to do anything besides tell this guy's story and tell the dog's story and get you emotionally involved. But so what? It does perfectly what it sets out to do. And that's why I think it's one of the best
totally
movies
right.
I've seen in a while.
Yeah, and it totally makes no there's no bones about what it is. It's a sad dog people movie. I mean, it's sad in the end, but it's got this kind of uplifting quality.
It's a very uplifting movie. You got to realize it's about the life of a dog from the beginning to the end. So it's not it's you go through the roller coaster of emotions that you're going to have if you have a dog. And this is where I say, if you're not a dog person, if you're somebody who hates dogs or hates pets or hates animals or not even hates them, but just doesn't want them in your life, you won't emotionally connect to this movie. It's for the families.
Right.
It's for the kids.
Well, too, and I think, you know what really makes this work is Owen Wilson. I think Owen Wilson he's got that right kind of charm. Jennifer Aniston, she's just kind of there. She's okay, I guess. They could have used just about any other you know, well, A or B list actress, and it would have been fine.
That's her whole career, though. But I have to say, I thought she did a great job in this movie. I mean, I thought she owned the role. You could have put anybody in there, but she definitely owned the role.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go Totally Rocks.
Okay.
Marley and Me.
Awesome.
So, all right, let's do it.
Let's move on. Pull out the big guns, Neil Miller.
Yes, it's called The Spirit. We've been waiting for it all year, in which Frank Miller directs Will Eisner's character in a not-so-subtle Sin City-style ripoff.
What are you? That's what the woman asked me. Am I some sort of ghost? I still move. I still breathe. I'm still alive.
The bad guys are winning.
Right now, we got our hands full.
You're a mess. 3 bullets.
Straight through me.
Last night, you were 20 minutes from the morgue, and now look at you.
Spirit thinks he can't stay hurt. I'm getting El Spirito dead while I still can.
Now, I remember back at Comic-Con, when you and I were at Comic-Con, you got to see early footage, and you were
incensed.
Understandably vicious in your write-up of the early footage of this movie.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
And the movie, what's funny is...
Does it live down to its expectations for
you? Well, you know, I guess the way I look at it is the worst scenes are the ones they released as clips.
Yeah.
But they released a lot of them, so there's a lot of really bad scenes. Because there's some of this movie... We'll start by saying there's some of this movie works. In fact, I thought overall the story... On the whole, was a solid story, which doesn't surprise me because Frank Miller is a great writer. Mm-hmm. You know, he has the ability to tell a good story. He just doesn't have the ability to differentiate this from any of the other from Sin City, which I guess is the number one thing people are going to want to see is what's different, or B, do this. He tries to do this kind of slapsticky Tex Avery,
very campy,
Looney Tunes ish, campy film, and it just doesn't work. It's just stupid. Yeah. Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Is that your official review? Is that
my
what you're going to put on the posters?
It is totally stupid.
Stupid, 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 says Neil Miller.
Yeah, it's too campy. It's too much like Sin City. So I think that'll make people who are big fans of Will Eisner's comics mad because Will Eisner didn't write the Sin City version.
Well, and that's the thing. That's, I think, the biggest... Everything else that everybody's complaining about, that's the biggest problem is that it does steal too much from Sin City. And if you go back and you look at the original Spirit comics, nothing like that at all. Whereas Sin City was meant to look like Frank Miller's Sin City and did it very effectively.
Yeah. Right.
It would be like wanting to make a Tom and Jerry live-action movie and making it look like Transformers.
Yeah.
With giant robotic mice and cats. And you'd be like, wait, this is nothing. It could be a greatest movie ever, but it looks nothing like the original Tom and Jerry Lost the Spirit of it. Although the original Spirit was, you know, he was going back to the camp, but the 40s weren't campy, but, you know, Batman was campy in the 60s too, so.
Right. Well, and there's another thing that really bugged me about this movie is Sam Jackson. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I am tired of Sam Jackson playing a caricature of the same character that he's been playing since Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Okay? It's the octopus, who's the big villain,
is
the same guy. Instead of the Royale with cheese, he's got a weird, creepy obsession with eggs in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's just, it doesn't fit. You don't see the character. You see Sam Jackson doing, you know, Jules.
I'll say this about it. And this is what I told the publicist when I was asked. I said, there are some parts of the movie that are really super cool. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
there's
visually
some neat,
cool.
Yeah, there's some neat stuff. There's some neat action. But there's also stuff that's just really silly. And silly is the best way to describe it. But also, you know, it reeks of a first-time director. And I think Frank Miller was kind of hung out to dry on this one.
Yeah. So I say it sucks. Totally sucks. Get it out of here.
I say it kind of sucks.
All right. We'll be back in a minute for more movies. And we're back once again.
Can I
made
address
it through?
Can, can I address something really quickly?
Sure,
once the Christmas
ahead.
Music fades down for the show, you may hear a rumbling sound in this that goes on and off. That is not aliens coming to give me an anal probe or anything like that.
Apparently, Kevin brought his dishwasher to the magical studio in the sky this week.
The virtual studio in the sky, yes. So
right.
I was being a good husband and actually doing dishes while I was working. So
look at you.
That's what it is.
Look at you.
It's me trying to win points with my wife. That's all there
right.
is to it. It is not aliens giving me an anal probe. They did that earlier today. So that's out of the way.
You really just need, we're looking for an excuse to say anal probe.
Anal probe.
I think is what is the whole point of that little segment.
I'm so transparent. You see right through
Anyways,
me, Neil Miller.
Speaking of things that do not involve anal, let's move on to the indie spotlight.
Wow. You know what? I would say arguably some indie movies probably have more anal in them than regular theatrical.
That's true. Requiem for a Dream comes to mind.
Yeah.
But
Pulp Fiction. Let's see what else involves that.
This indie spotlight has nothing to do with that.
Okay, I've seen Revolutionary Road, so
there's no sex in either one of these movies. Well,
no, there's some in Curious Case of Benjamin Button, but none of the sex you really want to see.
Right.
It's the most revealing with old people. Yuck.
Ew. So, anyways, Curious Case of Benjamin Button is the first one. You may have heard of this movie. It's like the single most talked about movie of the year, I would say.
Maybe. I wouldn't say that.
Probably.
I mean, there's a couple of them. I mean, you got Milk, you got Slumdog Millionaire. Those are ones that are getting buzz. Frost Nixon. I think a lot of people are talking about those.
And I really feel, though, that The Curious Case of Benjamin Button is the movie that will probably win a lot of awards.
Mm. Infirmities not of a newborn, but of a man well in his 80s on his way to the grave.
He's dying?
Of old age.
Oh, God in heaven. He looks just like my ex-husband.
My name is Benjamin. Benjamin Button.
How old are you?
7, but I look a lot older.
God bless you. He's 7.
Benjamin, this is my granddaughter, Daisy.
Are you sick?
They said I was gonna die soon, but maybe not.
You're odd.
It's David Fincher's movie about a man who is born at the ripe young age of 80, and he grows in reverse. And it's oddly enough, it's a 3-hour movie based on a 20-page short story by F. Scott Fitzgerald, which I've read, by the way.
Oh, how true is it? I was curious about how does it translate?
It's interesting because they do bend a lot. I mean, obviously they have to because it's a 20-page short story and they make it into a 3-hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I guess, the short story feels a lot more contained, whereas the movie itself is just like Forrest Gump, where it kind of cuts through historic periods of time and
things
like
that. It's literally all over the map. Literally.
It is. Literally all over the map. And a lot of people are likening it to Forrest Gump, and I think that's
no way. Forrest Gump is a good movie.
I personally think that's a pretty good assessment. He is kind of like a Gumpian character, and there is that romance, that holding the flame for someone. You know, Kate Blanchett plays a childhood friend who he holds a flame for all the way till the end, pretty much. And
that's me. That's my murmur from the crowd.
There are some similarities, but here's where I think that the Benjamin Button is different from Forrest Gump is that Forrest Gump always kind of had this
optimism,
this building tension to it, where the story there was a climax.
Yeah.
Whereas in Benjamin Button, there's really no. It just kind of happens the way you think it's going to happen.
Here's the thing with Benjamin.
There's less of an arc, I guess.
Well, this is the thing with Benjamin Button. First of all, I have to rant a little bit. What is it with Brad Pitt and long ass movies? Because it's like every year he's like, I'm going to do all these movies, but I have to have at least one movie that goes on way too long. And just is an ego piece for me. In Benjamin Button this year, last year it was the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. And then he did Meet Joe Black. I mean, it is getting a little irritating. I think maybe a little bit of Angelina Jolie's rubbing off on him.
Right.
Possibly.
Okay.
Here's the other thing with Benjamin Button. Visually, it's a brilliant looking movie. And
totally.
There's nothing I hated about it. And there is something to be said about a movie that's 3 hours long that I don't get bored in. I mean, I wasn't really looking at my watch. I mean, at least it kept my interest, but I attribute that to the fact that I think Fincher's a good director. But The biggest problem with it, it was the longest movie in which nothing happens. I mean, yeah. Things happen, but as a person, as a character, Benjamin Button does nothing except bang Tilda Swinton and bang Kate Blanchett, which she's old and fat. I mean, that's really all that happens. And then, you know, I mean, it's just...
Well, they bang when they're young, too.
They do bang when they're young, when they kind of meet in the middle, so to speak. But the problem is, I'm watching it, I'm like, by the time I got to the end, I go, he did nothing. In fact, it's supposed to be about how, you know, how he deals with this, but then he just abandons people, and he's just like, oh, well, I can't, you know, you can't deal with this. And I'm just like, this guy is the most pathetic loser. By the time you get to the end of the movie, I'm like, what a flippin' loser this guy is. Because I'm just like, you don't do what you did. You need to, but I age in reverse. So what? Everyone else is dealing with it. Why do you suddenly say this specific situation makes me not want to make anybody deal with it? I'm just like, and the other thing that irked me about this, and I don't know whether they told it in flashback, in the short story, but it starts out with Kate Blanchett's character. Yeah, she's like 80, and it's got this bizarre, you know, it's linking to Hurricane Katrina, which I know for a fact wasn't in the short story because Hurricane Katrina was still like 80 years away from when this thing was written.
Right.
And so it has this, and it's literally, they put Kate Blanchett in a bed and they put makeup on her and they say, act old. And she's like, I just want to read this. And
I think, you know what that tells me is that they were going for the Forrest Gump thing.
Yeah,
they wanted to tie it into things like Hurricane Katrina and stuff like that. Like, all of a sudden it became, and Eric Roth, he's the same screenwriter that wrote Forrest Gump, so it's no surprise that you can draw those similarities. But I feel like Forrest Gump had more meat to it. There was an overwhelming story arc, whereas with this one, you're right, it's a big long movie where almost nothing happens.
Yeah, you're right, and that's my beef. I think they could have taken out all that flashback garbage and just told the story, and the movie would have been a half hour shorter, which would have played well, and B, it would have taken all the extraneous stuff, because there's no resolution. Even then, I'm like, oh, well, they're going to have some sort of, well, oh, I guess they're not. Okay, there we go. It just, again, it goes nowhere. It looked great, and it was decently acted, but I personally think
that the visual look to this movie is what makes it important. In this year, I think.
Okay.
I think that alone makes it a good movie. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna say I'm right on the fence. Kind of rocks, kind of sucks.
I'm going rocks. Solid rocks. Not like crazy hardcore. I want to make out with this movie. Rocks, but just solid rocks.
You're now like, you have a whole lot of degrees of rocks.
I do. Well, there's different emphasis.
Okay.
This one's just solid rocks.
Let's move on. We've wasted enough time. See, we're gonna talk 3 hours about this stupid movie. Let's talk about another movie that I haven't seen, but it's an award movie.
Well, another seemingly long movie, Revolutionary Road.
How long is this movie? I haven't watched it yet.
Well, it's right at 2 hours, but it feels like it's eight.
Okay.
it's the reunion of Kate and Leo. Kate Winslet, Leonardo DiCaprio, played a suburban couple in the 1950s who, you know, are kind of disenfranchised with their lives and wish they could have done more and all that.
And they start boinking each other. Is that really all it is?
Well, no, and then, you know,
Is it like little children without the molestation?
Well, it doesn't have molestation. It also has very, very little sex in it. Which
you said last week
sucks.
It's the only movie that Kate Winslet's been in that she hasn't gotten naked in.
Right, which is very disappointing, because I didn't get a screener for The Reader. I got a screener for this one. I want to be able to rewind stuff like that.
She's naked enough in The Reader for both movies, I think.
Right. So, well, but here's the thing. So this couple, and they decide they're going to move to Paris, and they decide they're going to be, you know, be
don't
different
give away anything major, because I will punch you in the face if I have to sit through a two-hour movie and you like give away the ending.
They decide that, but their lives just continue to just kind of fall apart.
So this is basically two movies about nothing.
It really is a movie about nothing, but it does get you. It kind of gets you, like, I don't know. It was funny. I watched it with my mom. She said it kind of gave her this like tightness in the chest. I guess if you've gone through, you know, marriage that didn't always work, which I think every marriage doesn't always work.
Well, that's why it's called marriage. That's why it's called marriage.
Right. But also, I think there's, you know, it really is. It's a movie about nothing, but there's one performance in this movie that makes it totally worth it.
Pauly Shore.
Michael Shannon, who I think is one of the creepiest people ever. He literally shows up as this, like, psychopath who is the only person in the movie who tells the truth.
Oh, okay.
Like, he sits at the Thanksgiving dinner and just goes off on these two people, like, saying all the things that we all know, having watched them for an hour.
Mm.
And it's absolutely hilarious. So go see it based on Michael Shannon.
But don't bring mom because it might give her a heart attack.
It's, you know what, it's just another one of those movies that's kind of trying too hard.
Mm.
You know, and it tells a very interesting story. No, that's not true. It's good performances telling a really stupid story.
Did it get nominated? It got nominated for the Golden Globe, didn't it?
Yeah, and it'll probably win some awards because it's a good acting piece. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio, probably his best work
since
that I've seen.
Family Ties.
No, it's yeah, forever. Probably, I mean, he is the one character that I was able to identify with, you know? Because he's the character that goes through the greatest amount of change through the story. But
and he
that,
does it
it's,
without
it's really,
having Kate Winslet get naked, so there you go.
Yeah, it's really just kind of another bland 1950s period piece. Mm. You know, I would have much rather watched, you know, 3 or 4 episodes of Mad Men. So
there you go.
There you go. Right. So I'm gonna say, you know, kind of rocks, maybe.
Okay. Well, you'll hear my review when I'll talk at the Best of the Year episode, because there'll be nothing else to talk about in January.
Sure, it'll come up again.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about box office.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Who's gonna win? What? Yes Man won last week.
Yeah, just barely. And you know what's funny is Yes Man did very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And
it still won.
It still beat 7 Pounds. And 7 Pounds did miserably. It came in over $1 million less after the actuals came in. It didn't even make 15.
It was bad.
Didn't even
it
make
was it. Definitely bad. Yeah. I think Will Smith, wasn't it Will Smith's worst opening ever?
Well, close to, I think it did like maybe $100,000 better than Ali.
Yeah.
When you throw in the it was like 14.7 for Ali. It didn't do well. Despero sort of petered out with 10 million. And what irritated me about that is they were like, everyone's like, oh, it's like Stuart Little. I'm like, it has a mouse. That doesn't make it like Stuart Little. It's totally like Stuart Little.
You know what I think's going to win? This coming weekend, Christmas,
what?
Marley and Me.
I think it's either going to be Marley and Me Bedtime Stories, because those are the only Christmassy movies. What family's going to take their what parent is going to take their family to go see Valkyrie or The Spirit or anything else? They're going to go see the family movies for the next 2 weeks. That's all it is.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I think out of those other movies, I really think Benjamin Button's going to get going to make some decent money.
Benjamin Button's going to do okay. But it's 3 hours long,
about that movie.
And it's going to impact it.
Yeah, agreed. Cool. All right, well, when we come back, we'll, you know, wrap you up or whatever. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys the Movies. Another week down. Well, 2008, another year down.
We're wrapping you up with Christmas presents. Ho, ho, ho. I don't know what
speaking
that
of Christmas
was.
Presents, things that I normally get for Christmas, it's time for the DVD Roundup.
Can I ask you a question? Do you really get DVDs anymore? Because once I started reviewing DVDs, and I get DVDs every week from studios, and then I have to, like, and not always good. I, like, sometimes have to watch, like, The Cheetah Girls.
That's this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that on Blu-ray.
Ooh.
I'm excited.
So it's not always like Christmas, but it is nice when you get, like, Tropic Thunder or something like that.
Right.
But I don't buy DVDs anymore because I get so many.
Very rarely
from the studios, so it's like people like.
I give a lot of DVDs during Christmas.
Yeah, some of those tend to get recycled. I did say I was on Denver radio last week, and they asked, "Oh, you got Christmas shopping done?" I go, "I'm not buying gifts. I'm just recycling old movie passes and DVDs."
Nice.
So, cool. Oh, I just told my no one from my family listens. No one from my family listens to the show anyway. Sorry,
I didn't buy my mom any DVDs this year, quote unquote buy. So
didn't buy.
She's the only person in my family that listens.
She's gonna end up getting. She'll like be like, "Why am I getting, you know, Hill Street Blues season 2?" You're like, "Well, you don't have it yet." Uh huh.
All right. So what's your DVD pick? You have picks, right?
I actually have two. I'm going to do one that's actually already out. And that's Burn After Reading, which I saw, of course.
Very good choice.
Yeah, and I saw it a couple months ago when they did press screening, and then it came out. And I was like, for some reason, I was very lukewarm to it when I actually saw it in the theater. In watching it again on DVD, I think it's because I didn't quite know what to expect when I first saw it. And now that I know what the movie is, sort of what the timbre of the movie is, I got into it way more. because I was expecting it to be more serious, and then I was expecting it to be more comedic. But it's really
not about anything, which I think is the beauty of it.
Well, it's right in the middle. And it's both comedic and serious, which is very typical Coen. But they described it like this on the DVD and the special features. They describe it as saying it's a spy movie that's not a spy movie, but it's just about idiots.
Well, I like the one where they said on the DVD special features where they're like, it's like our Tony Scott movie, but without explosions.
Yeah, exactly. That's totally what it is. And it's because everybody's an idiot. Everybody's a moron. And they have a whole special feature explaining how they made George Clooney look like a moron.
Right. Which I think is funny, because they always make George Clooney look like a moron in their movies.
Well, but they even go down to the costume designers are going, well, we put these real heavy, big pants on him, and we made him grow this really stupid beard, and he's wearing a gold chain, and you're just like, they put a lot of thought into making this guy look like an idiot.
Yep. And George Clooney's like, yeah, this always happens.
So that was very funny.
That was a good pick.
And the other one I want to give as a shout out to is Resident Evil Degeneration, which is a CGI movie sequel to the Resident Evil series, where they had Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3 in the theaters, and this one is the fourth one, but it's CGI. It's made by the Japanese, even though it's all one big company, but it's the Japanese side of the Sony Entertainment. If you can get past the uncanny valley, do you know what that is? The uncanny valley.
No.
It's the way CGI people don't quite look like people, and they look sort of disturbing. So everyone in here kind of looks like they've been plucked out of the Polar Express.
Right.
So if you can get past
hunting
that,
zombies.
Yeah, you can't. You said that, like, look how strange those zombies look. I'm like, look at you. But if you can get past that, it's actually a pretty cool action sci-fi movie. It's almost better in some ways than the actual movies.
Oh, cool. Nice.
So what's yours?
My pick this week is Hamlet 2, because everyone needs to behold the shenanigans of Steve Coogan.
Rock me, sexy Jesus.
Exactly. I feel like too many people didn't go see this when it was out in theaters, because it didn't make $150 million in its opening weekend.
It barely made $150,000 in its opening
everyone
weekend.
Everyone needs to go buy this on DVD. Buy it for, you know what? Find the most holy rolling person in your family, the person who loves Jesus the most, and buy them this for Christmas. You'll never have to go back to their house again.
This would be a way to call the people you have to invite to Christmas dinner.
Yep. So, but also it's very funny.
But it doesn't come out until after Christmas, right?
It comes out, what, the 20th? No,
the 23rd?
It's the 19th.
Oh, okay. It's
came out over the weekend.
Oh, okay. So. No, you're right.
So there.
Hamlet 2 is an awesome movie. And I was very fortunate enough to be able to interview the director, the writer, and Steve Coogan, the star.
Who are all very funny.
Very funny people. And I think we talked about this when it came out in the theaters. My question to Coogan was, have you no shame? And he's like, well, no.
Sweet. So there. What's our stinker of the week?
Stinker. We're just going to hang on to the women for this one because, you know, they screened it for us, but we didn't
stinker
go.
Stinker of the year. The women.
Yeah, the women. I just don't want to see that. And fortunately, they didn't send it to me, so I don't have to.
Oh, good deal. Nice. All right. Review wrap up time. We got a lot of them. So we'll start with Valkyrie, which we both saw. And you said.
Kind of sucks.
I said kind of sucks. I said totally sucks.
You said totally sucks. You said totally sucks.
Bedtime Stories. You saw it and said.
Kind of rock.
The Spirit, which totally sucks.
Well, me, I'm sort of like kind of sucks, although I could lean towards kind of rocks.
Yeah. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, I gave it a solid rocks.
And once again, I'm right on the fence with that one. Kind of sucks, kind of rocks.
And Revolutionary Road, which I saw, just me, and I said, what did I even say about that movie?
I don't know. You said a lot.
It kind of rocks, I guess. Yeah. And then Marley and Me, which we both saw, and you said...
Totally rocks.
And I said totally rocks, too. I think Marley and Me is pretty much the pick of the week. If you That's go see right, The Spirit, man. You might want to hit yourself in the head with a tack hammer.
Or a toilet.
Yep. Next week, we're off next week.
Yes. So for the first time after 97 shows, we're actually taking a break. Yep.
We're taking a break for next week. And we'll be back the week after to do our big year in review. We'll talk
big,
about all our
fat
favorite
year
movies. Yep. In the meantime, hit us up, fatguysandmovies.com. And have a happy new year.
Merry Christmas.